Oh, hello, universe. I'm Stephen Colbert here at the Late Show Mission Control. And I'm beaming this message across America as well as into space and beyond. Hi, God. We miss you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Where's Chris Hardwick? I heard that Chris Hardwick was going to be here.
I don't know. He didn't come.
I want to have Chris Hardwick on my podcast. He's great.
Jesus. I need a drink.
Damn, I lost him. All right, cats, back in the bag. Come on, Fluffy. Come on, Mittens. Come on, Paul. What a ridiculous name for a cat. Paul, that's a person's name. A person's name.
And now.
You dig?
I don't really dig, but I dig. You dig?
Yeah, I dig. I'm so glad that you dig.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 14th of June.
What's up, you guys?
You know. Thug stuff. I don't know.
I don't feel
Allie,
like you pulled
no,
that off.
I don't either.
Allie pointed out that tomorrow is National Lobster Day.
All right.
Yeah,
that's
so
great news.
Christine is often on top of these things. So uh-huh. If she were to get a whole bunch of lobster, not in the shell, we can just have lobster claws and tail just right there for us.
Okay, so you're asking somebody to deliver us free food, but do it in the way that you want to eat it.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Don't have to shell, you don't have to shell it. It's too much work.
No, come on.
I'm
not a peasant.
Right? You're ridiculous.
It has been a strange trend lately that if it's hot dog day or it's donut day or it's bagel day or whatever it is, it does seem like miraculously some of that stuff's been showing up.
Yeah. I approve.
I approve too. Yeah.
I mean, I think there's no harm in putting it out there in the universe that it is National Lobster Day.
Right. Christine, tomorrow is National Lobster Day.
What kind of citizens would we be if we ignored such a holiday?
Exactly.
All right. I feel good that we
and the day after tomorrow is Prostitutes Day.
So, I didn't know that.
Yep. A lot of people didn't know that. Yeah, it's a couple days off.
So. Yeah. You plan ahead.
So, Christine, get on that.
I like it. Hey, what's the deal? All right, I'm going to ask an impossible question here, but I'm curious as to what you guys think. Why is it that there are so many things that other people do that do not affect you or me or us at all, yet still bugs us so much? What is that about humans? And I'm thinking of a man bun, for instance.
Man buns must die.
Okay, they're dumb, right?
Yeah.
But how could it possibly affect your life you run into somebody in a store today or driving next to you on the freeway who's got a man bun? Why should you even care?
Yeah. I think about that a lot because I, for some reason, get so annoyed with people that retweet compliments on Twitter or quote tweet a compliment and then put like winky face, thanks, babe. Like, we get it. People think you're great. Enough. And I don't know why I let it bother me.
Yeah, it doesn't affect you.
It doesn't affect me at all.
In that case, though, at least the argument could be made that is clogging up your feed. If it only takes you 2 seconds to look at it, it's 2 seconds that you wish you hadn't spent time on that thing.
No,
that
I still feel like an ass for how much it bugs me.
I mean, you should.
I should.
It shouldn't bug you that much.
We had a conversation a while ago about, and we may have even done a scientific survey on it, about people who get annoyed when you see a couple sitting on the same side of a booth in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's just their choice because that's how they want to sit and eat. Why should we care?
Doesn't affect you, really.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't affect us at all, but we all have a long list of those things that we do, right? And I bring that up to bring this up. McDonald's in France now is offering knives and forks with their hamburgers.
What?
Okay, it makes no sense, but are you angry about that?
I'm the guy who's taking the heat for how much food I eat with a knife and fork. I'm a eat a pizza with a knife and fork guy.
Oh, well, you're terrible then.
Pizza?
Boom! Boom!
From the Washington Post, in America, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Pizzas, burgers, french fries, hot dogs, and fast food fried chicken are meant to be eaten with our hands, a.k.a. God's utensils. Using a fork or knife, as many politicians have learned after unfortunate photo ops throughout the years, is a sign of weakness, un-Americanness, and unfitness for public office.
What?
Wow. They talk about how Mayor Bill de Blasio, a couple of years ago, was seen eating pizza with a knife and fork. He got railroaded for it. Governor John Kasich did it last year. Donald Trump was mocked for eating his Kentucky Fried Chicken with a knife and fork. I eat all of those foods with a knife and fork, by the way.
Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Absolutely.
What? The actual chicken, not just the beans and potatoes?
Yes, of course, because no, why do we need to pick up a food you and always get grease and salt and whatever else all over your hands if you don't have to? You can eat it with a knife and fork.
Because that grease will never come off.
It's on forever.
Life.
Yeah, that's a good point, Kevin.
My point is, think about all the foods you eat with a knife and fork. A lot of the times the reason is so that you don't have to pick them up with your hands.
No, I pick everything up, pretty much, except for soup.
Because that's hard.
I've tried.
Yeah, you have.
It just takes a long, long time to eat soup.
Look,
does that really bug you?
No, it doesn't. What are you asking about?
I'm asking about your original story about the McDonald's with the hamburgers.
No, I support it 100%. Yeah. That's why I brought up ahead of time what's the deal with how mad people get. Now there are people outraged that people are eating hamburgers with a knife and fork. And I say to you, if that's how somebody wants to eat their hamburger, let them eat their hamburger that way. How could it possibly matter?
Well, let them eat their hamburger that way, but we can still judge them for being completely wrong.
And we can judge them hard.
Yeah, we can.
Because it's ridiculous.
Okay, but tell me why.
Because a hamburger is for your hands.
Just because you eat it that way.
It's almost like hamburger. If you really think about it.
It is. It's kind of like hamburger, right?
It's just something for your hands. It's for your hands.
What about chicken, if anyone
needs me in court, I will argue anything for them.
What about chicken McNuggets, for example? That's made to just pick up with your fingers and dip in the sauce and then eat it. What do you do?
You certainly can eat it that way.
What do you do?
No, you don't.
Yes.
You eat it with a fork?
With a fork. You just pick it up and put it in your mouth.
You are un-American.
Come on. My hands are cleaner than your hands after a meal.
No, they're not. It's the same.
Even pizza?
Especially pizza. Oh. Pizza. I had pizza yesterday in a restaurant and ate it with a knife and fork.
Yeah. And everybody at the restaurant was like, did you see that guy eating that with knife and a fork? Yeah. That's crazy.
I walked out of there so fresh, so clean, though, man.
Have you ever heard of napkins? Because that'll solve a lot of your issues with the dirty hands.
And, of course, I use napkins, too. But why create extra salt and grease and grime and everything else that comes off of food if you don't have to? I'm telling you, if you think about it, it makes more sense to eat stuff with a knife and fork than it does to pick it up.
I mean, it really doesn't, because it's such a minor issue. Cleaning up your hands after you eat is so nothing.
Pretty simple.
That it makes no difference whether you eat with a knife and fork or with your hands.
So we're all in agreement.
We're not in agreement. Then.
No.
We're all in agreement then.
You crazy.
That people judged too many things that other people do that have zero effect on them.
No, I think it's just about the right amount of judgment. I feel like the judgment is dead on.
All right.
That's what I think we're coming away with this. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're impossible!
Mandy Moore is on the show today from the movie 47 Meters Down.
I love her so much.
She's great. Too.
She's a delight.
We have tickets for the
LA. We're not going to worry about Dave today, are we, with Mandy Moore? Is he still...
I don't know.
I think he is.
For a long time, he had the biggest crush.
Biggest crush.
Yeah. And we sort of had to avoid everything having to do with her because we couldn't take him.
Right.
This Saturday night, we're having a K-Rock section at the LA Galaxy game, and we've got some tickets for you on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Bean makes his guest on today's show. And Ashley Escada joins us in studio talking about E3, which for the first time was open to the public. So all the new gaming consoles and games and stuff like that are happening, she's going to come in and give us an update on that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, Allie's in for Ralph right now with the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What is going on?
Hey, Ralph brought this up yesterday, and none of us were aware of it, which is shocking because Kevin has his finger on the pulse of all things soccer. Why are soccer players so bad, Kevin?
In what way?
Well, Cristiano Ronaldo,
he's just the devil.
But wouldn't you say he's arguably the most famous athlete in the world?
Arguably, yes. And by that, I mean,
yes.
You're not going to get much from me on him, but go ahead.
Okay, you're not a fan of him.
He's the worst.
So, but he's following...
He's right now, someplace, he's looking at himself in the mirror.
Well, rightfully so. Yeah.
How is he as a soccer player, Kevin?
How is he as a soccer player? He's the best of the humans. Lionel Messi is above human.
He's a god.
Lionel Messi is a god. And then Cristiano Ronaldo is the best of the human group.
Well, right. Ronaldo wants to be a god because he's following in the footsteps of Messi.
Mm-hmm.
He has been hit with criminal charges in Spain for allegedly scheming to screw the government out of millions of dollars. He's accused of stiffing the Spanish taxman out of more than 16 million bucks. In fact, he set up shell companies based in the Virgin Islands as a screen to keep his money from Spain's tax office. This is a man that made close to $100 million last year.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Stiffing the government on $16
million? I don't get that. That's crazy. If convicted on all charges, he could face a 5-year prison term. Of course he won't, because it's first-time non-violent offender.
He would be so popular in prison.
Wouldn't he?
So popular.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's up with not paying your taxes for soccer players?
I assume if you have a lot of money. Look, I know that it looks ridiculous for those of us that don't make $100 million for him.
Right.
But imagine how much they're paying in taxes for real. I mean, I don't know what the tax code is there in Spain, but they're paying so, 20, 30 million in taxes. They don't get any more government than anybody else. So I could imagine it would be annoying and I would want to hide it. I can see that.
Kevin and Laws.
Right?
Seriously.
I said I would want to. I would pay because I am a great citizen.
Okay, good. You guys, a lot more Spider-Man movies are coming. That's the word from Tom Holland. He accidentally let the news slip during an interview. He said, quote, "There's still a lot of room for Peter Parker and Spider-Man, especially to grow in the next two episodes." And then a reporter said, "Is that breaking news?" To which he responded, "Sorry, Marvel, whoops. I really look forward to exploring the different ways he can grow up and go through puberty, I guess. It's going to be an exciting couple of movies. I can't wait for, like, Zitty Spider-Man, like, voice-changing Spider-Man."
You think they're going to call him Zitty Spider-Man?
Yeah. Oh.
Doesn't everybody assume when there's a big, huge superhero movie like that, that it's going to be, they're going to be
gonna do gangbusters.
Sequels? Yeah, and they'll do sequels.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
You sort of assume that.
Yeah,
but the way they reboot this franchise in particular, he's going to age out in about 8 months.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to reboot it with somebody younger.
Yeah. Said there will be Spider-Man 2 and 3. It won't be Homecoming 2 and 3. So, Tom, loose lips, baby.
Right.
Got to learn that in interviews, right?
Right.
Said that for years. So, remember those self-lacing sneakers?
Yes.
From Back to the Future 2, they just sold at an auction, and these are near exact replicas of the ones that Michael J. Fox wore in the film series. How much do you think they went for at auction?
See, I'm not one of these auction guys. I don't buy memorabilia like that. So,
I will tell you, it set a world.
40 grand. Set a world record.
A world record for a collectible sneaker sold at public auction.
$1 million.
Oh, no. You were closer.
To 40 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$52,500. Okay. And it all goes to Michael J. Fox's foundation supporting his research for Parkinson's disease.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is great, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Bean, you had no guess or you already read the story?
I've seen the story, but I was thinking this is the beautiful thing about these collectibles is the whole point of self-lacing shoes is how awesome it is that they work, that they do that for you.
Yeah.
But this person who just paid 50 grand for it is never going to put those on.
Yeah, it's just
you're not
going to
use
case.
Those, right? Yeah, you just keep them in a box or something like that. So it kind of defeats the purpose of the self-lacing sneakers.
That's so true.
It doesn't take a tremendous amount of time to tie your shoes, though.
I think we're okay.
So I assume everybody's all right still tying their shoes.
Remember Velcro, though?
Right.
Godsend. All right, here's some celebrity birthdays. All of these stars born today. June, the 14th singer Boy George is 56. NWA's MC Ren is 48. Actor Kevin McHale is 29. And actress Lucy Hale is 28. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Hey, Beer Mug. Hey, guys. Hey, Bean, Kevin, Allie, Chip.
I'm glad you're in here because you're going to be filling in for Ralph today. Oh. He's out because it's time for a brand new Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya,
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Max's guess.
Yes.
I'd just like to state again that there's a lot of stuff in there that's not necessary for this feature.
Doesn't have anything to do with the game at all.
Right.
I keep asking Omar for a new intro.
Right.
And for whatever reason, that request is not being honored at all.
Because that's a great one. Yeah. It's a great intro. Should we play it again? Or?
Yeah, it's
no, I think we got it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Here's the thing about B Makes This Guess. I don't make up the lists.
Uh-oh.
Okay, this isn't my list. I didn't come up with the idea of
okay,
it.
Okay, but B.
Put the things on the list?
Right, but Bean.
Yeah.
The person that did come up with the list, are they available to us right now to talk to?
No.
Okay, so you're the closest person that we can complain to.
Bean, is this a preemptive strike?
It is, yeah.
I think this is
shoot the messenger.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
I think this is an outstanding list, and I do
so
not
you
think,
support it.
I do not think you will quarrel with most of the things on this list.
Okay.
However, there will be some that you may question. Okay.
All right. And those are your fault.
There are still lots of good, honest, reliable, wonderful, trustworthy people in this world. And that's what this list is about. This is a feel-good list, you guys. This is the most trustworthy celebrities in the world. These are the celebrities that you would lend your car to, you would let them babysit your kids, you would tell them your secrets, and you would feel good about that decision because you expect this person to continue to be the great person they've always been. All right, so the most trustworthy celebrities in the world. You like it?
Sure.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure everybody has names that came immediately to mind. Let's see how you do. We'll try. I got the top 30 here in front of me.
Top 30?
But we'll try to, as usual, fill in the top 10. I like to go a little deeper than that because sometimes you make a great guess, but your person just didn't make the top 10. It doesn't mean they're not on the list. All right, Kevin, you ceremoniously are at the head of the table. You get to go first. Who thinks you?
Donald Trump.
All right.
Number one.
We are taking this game seriously, apparently, already.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Mr. Trump did not make the list. He may have been just outside.
31st, maybe?
Yeah. He didn't quite make it. Allie McKay. Oh, I'm sorry. Beer Mug, you're next. Then we're going around the table. All right, Mugs, you're up.
I'm going to go George Clooney.
George Clooney's a great guess.
Oh.
Not in the top 30. See, now he's a perfect celebrity, though, that I would have expected to find on this list. So that's a real good guess. Allie.
I'm going to go Tom Hanks.
Well, Tom Hanks is only number one.
What?
Number one on the list as the most trustworthy celebrity in the world.
Agree.
Yeah. I mean, look. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kevin. Try to be serious here.
All right. Most trustworthy in the world.
Yes.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Kevin doesn't want to win.
Really?
Kevin can't win, so he's doing the best he can.
I'm sorry. No, Sir Mix-a-Lot, although a very trustworthy man, did not make the list. Beer Buck.
I'm going to go ahead and say Star-Lord himself, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt is a great guest, too, that is not on the list. Turns out there are a lot of really trustworthy celebrities. Hmm.
Oprah.
Ooh, good
Oprah,
one.
Surprisingly.
Oh,
all right.
How dare you, list.
And what's that about, by the way?
Chastising the list?
I'm angry at you, list.
I'm curious about that. Do you think that she, since she has been off TV for so long, is just out of people's consciousness now?
I still like trust her.
Don't even think about her anymore?
I trust you with my life, Oprah.
That's a scary thing. Kevin James. Because when he runs into that pane of glass, I know for a fact he's running into that pane of glass.
You trust that?
I trust him 100%.
Okay.
No, I'm so sorry.
Come on.
Beer Mug.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Ah, good one.
That's great guess.
Oh, come on.
Okay, seriously?
Yeah. And the funny thing is it's not like I'm looking at a ton of names here that don't make any sense. There's just a lot of great people in the world. So maybe this isn't a great list. Maybe there are too many choices to choose from.
Well, I think we all know who I would trust with everything I have.
Okay.
And I want to be her best friend.
All right.
And I want that to happen soon. So, Adele, if you're listening,
well, I don't think this is a plea for friends.
Oh,
this is
sorry.
He makes his guess.
No, Adele. Good Lord.
All right, let's go around one more time,
yeah,
and then I'll reveal.
Screech.
Mugs.
Bradley Cooper.
Allie?
What do I got to do?
Barack Obama.
Okay. What?
No All Barack right. Obama?
Some of the people who are on the list outside the top 10
Good Lord.
Include Tina Fey,
sure.
Matt Damon,
right, of course.
Carol Burnett, Amy Poehler, Hugh Jackman,
Did
Henry Winkler.
Carol Burnett?
Carol Burnett, which right. I'm surprised Allie didn't think of.
My friend interviewed Carol.
Yeah, I heard that.
Ron Howard, Bill Murray. There's a lot of great people on this list. But here's
oh, Ron
what,
Howard, sure.
Here's what, Ron Howard, sure. Here's what they have as the top 10 most trustworthy celebrities. Number 10, James Earl Jones. Number 9, Meryl Streep.
What?
Everyone loves Meryl, right?
I mean, I
seems like a straight-up lady.
Sure.
Number 8, Sally Field.
What?
Number
She's
7.
A delight.
Now, here's one that I think you guys will agree with. Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Stewart.
Sure, that makes sense.
Number 6, trustworthy celebrity. Sandra Bullock.
Wow, we were nowhere near
nowhere
these.
Nowhere near these.
Number 5, Morgan Freeman.
Nah.
Number 4,
Don't
Betty
trust
White.
Him with his granddaughter.
Betty
yeah,
White.
Especially with his granddaughter, right.
Please.
Number 4, Betty White. Number 3, Ugh. Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
We weren't even love Michael J. Fox, right?
We weren't even in the arena wow. of these people.
Wow.
Number 2 is a surprise to me, and I wouldn't have expected you to come up with it, but number 2 on this list is Maggie Smith.
The Maggie. British lady?
The Academy Award winning actress, yeah.
Is she British?
And number yes. Yes,
is she a lady?
And
yes.
number 1
so
is
the British lady.
Tom Hanks. So there you go. Not
wow.
a
We're
not
off.
A lot of hits there, but those are the most trustworthy celebrities, and this has been B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
So you know how we come on the air first thing in the morning and we start with a funny story.
Mm-hmm.
Bean was here one day and I wasn't, and he did a story. And then Bean was gone the next day and I was, and I did the exact same story again.
Yes, he did.
And, of course, I wasn't there for this. So you start to, you come in and you sit down and you start telling a story.
And
about
I think
a,
it's a great story. So
about
I'm
a robbery gone yeah. bad, right?
Right, right.
And what happens in the room as people start to realize, oh, we did this story yesterday and well, Kevin doesn't know?
Allie starts smiling and then Chip's like looking back and forth at her. And I'm thinking, did I mess up the story in some way already? Or did I, does it, is it not clear? Am I not making sense?
Are you missing page 2?
Right. I had no idea what it was. And then eventually, and I do believe it was a pretty long time
you
before,
were
oh, yeah,
in.
Before they finally told me, I did the story yesterday at the exact same time.
So now that when people heard that and
yes.
got a big chuckle out of it,
mm-hmm.
now you are forever tied with the story of the guy who robbed the bank to get away from his wife, right? So now anytime anyone sees anything on that story, they think, oh, got to tell Kevin.
Yeah, so we got like 1,000 tweets from people saying, you got to give us the update, you got to give us the update. 71-year-old Lawrence John Ripple was his name. He walked into a bank. At the time, he handed the teller a note, and the note said, I have a gun, give me money. So the teller gave him $2,924, and then Lawrence did something that surprised everybody. He just sat down in the middle of the bank and waited to be arrested. And he
it's
did
a very, very strange decision to make.
Look, right.
He was in an argument with his wife, as I understand it, and he wrote out this note and said to her, I mean, he basically mocking her, he said, look, here's how much I want to get away from you.
Right.
I'm going to go down and I'm going to rob this bank because I'd rather be in jail than be with you. And he followed through and actually did it.
So they arrested him, and he literally was just trying to get away from his wife. He was in court to face charges of bank robbery and pleaded guilty. Now, this is the update. Then he told the judge that he wrote out the note demanding the money to go to jail instead of spending another night with her. And he also told the judge that he wrote it in front of her. Now, he could have spent 37 months in prison.
Oh, wow.
Because that's a pretty serious crime.
Yeah,
bank robbery, yeah.
He told the U.S. District Court judge that he had been a law-abiding citizen his whole life. He pleaded guilty, but he had been a law-abiding citizen. He was a good husband and a good stepfather to 4 children. He had undergone quadruple bypass heart surgery in 2015,
wow.
and that left him with extreme depression, which turned into irritability, and it was not diagnosed and it was not treated.
Yeah.
So the judge, considering his health issues, remorse, and unlikeliness to reoffend, instead of giving him 37 months in prison, sentenced him to 3 years of probation, 50 hours of community service, ordered him to pay $227, which is basically what it would have cost for the employees that the bank sent home that day.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to reimburse him for that, and 6 months of home confinement.
Oh, I mean.
Now, his wife was in court. Imagine if he really did it to get away from his wife.
Yeah.
At least before the bank robbery, he could leave the house.
Yes.
So now there she is, And he's stuck inside the house for 6 straight months.
Well, let's hope since he was not diagnosed with depression, he's now on meds, everything's fine, everything's back to normal, and his wife isn't bugging him so much, right?
Yeah, that's the perfect case scenario. Sure. Yeah. I wonder if, look, the fact that he, what?
He's just got to sit with his wife for 6 months.
I mean, she was bugging him clearly. Now, yeah. maybe he was irritable and depressed. Fine. Yeah. But she was doing something that was annoying him yeah. so much.
Yeah, he was definitely a sore spot. Yeah.
He went to rob a bank. I mean, that he didn't speed. He didn't run a red light. He didn't go find a cop and just do something. He robbed a bank and then sat there. He wanted to go to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, and I think this probably factored into the judge's decision, too, is he didn't really have a gun. You know?
Right.
He said he had a gun in the note, but he didn't. He just sat there and waited, you know, and he just handed the money back when the police came and said, glad you're here. Take
However,
it away.
However, he did have nail clippers and a hairbrush on him.
All right.
Guys, what if he really, really was desperate to get away from her?
And now
and she was
that's
in
his
court?
Sentence.
Right.
Yeah.
She was in court, so he's like, no, I didn't do it for that reason, Your Honor.
Oh.
I did it because depression. Yes, depression. That's what it is from my surgery.
Now, they did give him 50 hours of community service. Maybe he'll appeal to the court to up that to 400 hours.
That's possible.
As if Ashley Skeeta isn't already perfect. Now she's in on roadside attractions in Iowa.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You're the best, Ashley.
Oh, thanks, Bean.
What's this statue?
He's very excited about this. I know. He's going to go visit it. Yeah. It's a bronze Chef Boyardee statue in Omaha, Nebraska.
Why have I never heard of that before? How did I miss that?
Bean has seen just about everything there is in the country.
Well, Bean, you know
the website, like Roadside Attractions.
Oh, sure.
Roadside America. Yeah. Okay. I'm using that to map out. We went
to the world's largest pecan, which is not a pecan.
How dare you?
It's actually made out of cement.
Well, that is that's a lie then.
Right.
You should be angry about that.
Bean went twice.
Four times. I've been there four times.
Why would you go back?
Oh, wow.
It's cement.
No.
It's made out of cement.
Because when you're in Austin for other things, you go, hey, I'm only 70 miles away from Seguin. I got to go back and check on it.
Go back and check. Nothing changes. It's cement.
I like it. Hey, Ashley Skeeta is here, senior editor of CNET. And the reason she is here is because this is a big, big week for geeks like her, especially this year, because the E3 Expo is for the first time ever open to the public. And what a shocker that announcement was, Ashley. What's going on?
I was going to ask you how that was going.
It was a real shock, you guys.
So before this year, it was just people in the industry.
Industry only. Okay. And then for the first time ever, they released 15,000 tickets for the public.
Oh, wow.
The lines, okay, so usually when we go to E3 at the beginning of the show, there's a line to get into the hall,
right.
Each hall. And it fills up quite a bit in the main area. And then this year, the lines were so bad, they went all the way from the inside, right at the doors of West Hall, all the way outside to the Staples Center.
Wow, man.
And it was a fire hazard. I heard this. I don't know how true this is, but supposedly it was such a fire hazard that they were like, we have to let everyone in 15 minutes early. Like, we have to start letting people in. This is getting out of hand. How many extra people are at the convention center, and you can feel it on the show floor. I mean, it is.
Now, I know that you wouldn't do it, but did it cross your mind to pull the fire alarm?
Oh, you know, I really thought about it. I was like, you know, if I pull this fire alarm, maybe some people will leave, and then I can play Destiny 2.
Probably not, by the way. Probably not.
As much as $250. So did they make this decision just because they could see how much money they were leaving on the table by not making it open to the public?
You know, I think maybe this is like a test of can they have the public there? I would love it if they took there's a convention, a games convention in Germany that does industry only Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That's what I was just going to say. Why not?
Then on the weekend opens it up to the public.
Perfect.
And I think that would be a really good compromise and also really just really good for the city. I mean, it's extra revenue for the convention center.
Sure.
And all that stuff. So to me, it feels like that would be a really great way to do it.
Why do you hate the public?
Oh, gosh. Well,
she hates too many of the public. That's the problem everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. Well, it's not so much that I think people should be able to come to E3, absolutely. But also, there are so many people trying to do their jobs right. at E3. And that's when I hear from some people at CNET who are like, I didn't have an appointment for this. I tried to play. It took me an hour. And it's like, I don't have time to wait. I can't wait in line.
You guys that are in the industry don't have passes or something that gets you the front of the line?
So we do have press badges, and we can make appointments. But but sometimes, like, you're overbooked or something gets canceled, and you go, okay, well, I'm going to go try to play XYZ. And so so we'll get some previews, and we'll get some, you know, some special access.
Right.
But it's not – sometimes there are games, like, you might hear about something that nobody really thought was going to be amazing that turns out to be super interesting. Everyone's into it. We're like, oh, we got to go check this out. And then it's, you know, it's 90 minutes to wait.
Did you at any point yell?
Well, yesterday I did, but not at a person.
Okay.
No. I screamed a lot when they announced Metroid Prime 4. That was like, I was like, oh, Metroid! Like, I was so excited.
Okay, I don't know what that is, Ashley.
I know, it's okay, it's okay. I didn't know about that pecan, so it's we're even.
It's not a pecan, by the way, it's cement.
It's a cement pecan, yeah.
There are so many things coming out of E3 this year that we want to talk about. I almost don't know where to start, but I guess the biggest headline seems to be Xbox One X, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, why don't we start there?
So last year, Xbox teased Project Scorpio, and Project Scorpio turned out to be Xbox One X. And so this is a souped-up Xbox. It is coming out this year in November.
Okay.
It'll be $500. Some of the games they played on it looks absolutely gorgeous. Of course, supports 4K. It's got all the bells and whistles that you want. Surprisingly, it has the power to drive a VR headset, which we all thought at E3 this year they would say, oh, and guess what, everybody? It supports Oculus or, you know, the Vive.
Yeah, because that's the way the industry's going. Why wouldn't they?
Right, and Microsoft specifically is a tiny gaming PC. I mean, that's really what they're kind of, like, going for. They're saying this is a really powerful, small Xbox.
Right.
But really, it's kind of a tiny computer. And so we thought they would come out and say, hey, it has VR support. And it can drive VR headsets.
Right.
It has the power to do that. But,
right.
But supposedly not this year. Like, this is
really?
Not. We really thought
disappointing.
They would come out. It was a little bit of a disappointment. And they didn't even mention VR at their press conference,
that's
which was
so
a shocker
weird.
For it was a real shocker
yeah.
for us. And there has also been some confusion over whether they will support it at all. Support
that's
VR
crazy.
At all in the future. So I think if they didn't, that would be a really big miss.
Can you play older games on it?
Yes.
Is that one of the things that
they announced backwards compatibility
yes.
with original Xbox games. So if anybody out there wants to play a game that I did voiceover for called Toxic Grind, you can go do that. Like, I did a voiceover for this ridiculous BMX game called Toxic Grind. You'll be able to experience that on your Xbox One X.
That is so curious what you're saying about Microsoft and VR because, you know, VR isn't like – it's not a fad. It's not going away. It's
right.
only going to get bigger and better and more immersive. It's just – it's shocking to me that they wouldn't want to be on the leading edge of that.
And the Xbox One runs off Windows 10. Like, it is so weird. It's basically a Windows machine.
Okay, so what they're telling me is don't buy the Xbox One X because the one that comes out next year is going to have VR.
Well, I would say,
what do you think?
I would say this. I would say if you are not a PC gamer and you don't already have a really high-end rig, which there are many people out there who do not,
right?
And you want the highest quality graphics, maybe you upgrade to a 4K TV this year, you're like, I want everything to be 4K, I'm really into it. Maybe it's worth it. It's $500. But also keep in mind, they dropped the price of the Xbox One Slim, which is still very powerful in its own right, and it's only $200.
Wow.
Which is a great deal.
That's a huge difference, yeah.
Like, that to me is...
That's
the most exciting of Xbox's announcements in the way of, like, wow, that is really accessible for people. And it's a really tiny little console, and it's very powerful. And there's going to be some great games coming out for Xbox.
All right, we got to take a break right now, real quick. Ashley Escate is here, senior editor from CNET. We're talking about the E3 Expo. When we come back, we need to talk Sony. We need to talk Nintendo. We need to talk Star Wars. A lot of great stuff going on at the convention this year, and more with Ashley right after this on K-Rock. Ashley Escate is here, senior editor from CNET. Where are we in the E3 Expo right now? It's still going on?
It feels like it's been going on forever because they
moved. You seem awfully peppy for somebody who's been working as hard as you have this week.
You know what? I had a really great day yesterday. I did play-by-play for Nintendo for their Splatoon 2 World World Invitational. So they had a grand championship, global mm-hmm. championship, and it was really exciting, and I had an awesome time, and it was really fun to do.
Explain that to people, because I feel like there's a large group of people that have no idea the crazed excitement that goes into those events and the desire for it.
Yeah, so competitive gaming, that scene has been growing tremendously over the last few years. It's been huge in countries like South Korea, and now it's starting to kind of really permeate gaming in the U.S. and other Western countries.
They'll sell out Staples Center for three nights in a row and stuff like this. Crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely bananas. And so Splatoon is a game that came out for the Wii U a couple years ago, and then now they're releasing Splatoon 2 on the Nintendo Switch. And so it's not out yet. It comes out in July. And so to celebrate that game coming out, Nintendo decided to do a little invitational and have four teams from around the globe who had qualified in regional tournaments come play against each other. And so it was me, a guy named Jordan Kent, who is a caster. He does a lot of sports stuff. Who is just, he was such a pro. It was ridiculous. He's just like, he sat there and he's like, he's got his hard hat on. He brought his lunch pail. He's getting to work. Like, I mean, he was just so, it was amazing. Like, it was my favorite thing ever. And then a guy who works at Nintendo for their live streaming platform called Treehouse, Eric. And so the three of us were on stage with a whole bunch of people watching. And then they had the two teams on each side and they were playing against each other and they were calling the whole thing. And I was saying things like, well, I mean, obviously, I was like the John Madden.
So you made no sense?
Wait, yeah, exactly. I was like, well, Bob, the team that's going to win today is the team that puts down the most paint. Like, it's like the most obvious, or the most ink. It's like, that's the most obvious thing. Like, but it was just, I mean, it was so much fun, and everybody had a great time. And the end was really exciting. It was a big upset. Team U.S., Deadbeat, beat.
Hey, spoiler alert, Dynamo. I haven't watched it yet.
I know, sorry, but you know what? It's so exciting to watch anyway. You should just watch it. It's all on Nintendo's YouTube channel.
And this Nintendo Switch has been a huge success, right?
Massive. It's in my purse right now. I got one in my bag.
Is that right?
I take it with me everywhere. It's so awesome. Legend of Zelda really was a great choice for Nintendo to launch with. That it's such a huge game. It takes a long time to beat if you really get into it. And now people were critical of the launch titles because there were not a lot. There was a very small amount of launch titles.
That's sort of normal, though.
Yeah, I think so. Usually, and not usually a huge flagship game like Legend of Zelda gets launched with a console. That hasn't really happened, I think, since Halo. Like that. I mean, it was a big deal. And so now we're starting to see some more games get announced. They're coming. Super Mario Odyssey is the big game that Nintendo's promoting this year at the show.
Nice.
And this is one where Mario rides in a little airship called the Odyssey. And it's, of course, it's a Mario game. It's so cute. And he has a little living hat called Cappy, and it's got eyes. And so there's people at the Nintendo booth who are like winning hats with eyes. And
it's crazy to me that they can still be writing Mario.
I know.
Crazy.
And somehow they still make it feel fresh and relevant. And
that's amazing.
I met the voice of Mario yesterday. I took a selfie with him. He was very nice. And of course, like, we took a picture and the picture is me laughing because as soon as he goes 1, 2, and then he goes, woohoo! And I was like, oh my God, it's Mario in real life. I can't believe it. Like, I was a fangirling out. It was so great. I'm saving my tears for if I get to meet the creator of Mario, which is Miyamoto-san. If we meet Mr. Miyamoto, I might get choked up a little bit.
It's too much. Speaking of gaming, Electronic Arts, EA, it was new Star Wars, new Madden, new FIFA, like all the greatest hits, right?
Yeah, I mean, EA every year, they bring this great showcase of sports games. That's always really like a big part of their bread and butter, and they do it really well. I mean, no one can deny that. They do it very well. And then, of course, we have this new Star Wars game. It's Battlefront. It's from sort of the point of view of the Empire this time, which is like, and it's canon. This is like all, it's not just, hey, we made up a Star Wars game. This is like in conjunction with Lucasfilm and Disney, and they're really working hard to sort of fill in and shade out all those little corners of the galaxy, the Star Wars universe, that haven't quite been filled in yet.
What else is exciting? What else did you see here? It's coming out.
You know, I really enjoyed, there were a couple of surprises at the Sony press conference. Sony trotted out Shadow of the Colossus 2. It was a really critically loved game. People, I mean, and also just fans absolutely love it. They've been clamoring for it for a long time. And then it was a kind of a surprise announcement. Nintendo announced Metroid Prime 4, which was a really big deal. They announced two Metroid games, which we haven't seen Metroid in a really long time in the sense of a classic Metroid game. So, and as one of those franchises that kind of set a standard for what a particular type of game looks like, which is that 2.5D side-scrolling kind of, you know, puzzle game. That was really exciting for game fans.
They have a new God of War?
A new God of War. He's a dad now, Kevin. He's dad. Dad of War. He's a dad now. He's got to work it out with his kid. There's a lot of, it's just like really funny.
Son, I have to fight. I'm sorry.
We must fight. I wonder if he's going to have to fight his kid at some point. That's what I'm hoping for. There's a lot of games. It's kind of a trope now. So it's like you have the zombie game that's like getting kind of tired, that genre. So now we have like the powerful, wise and but old and tired, leader. And then you have a kid. You gotta escort the kid. So this started with The Last of Us, and now it's like God of War. And then it's kind of everywhere. Logan, we saw in the movies. It's like the same kind of thing, which is really funny. It's like Extraordinary Child. So, you know, I really love that. God of War, the new Spider-Man movie, the new Spider-Man game we have to talk about because it looks so good.
Really?
Yes. Okay, so Insomniac Games is making this, and they are the game company that made Ratchet & Clank. They make the Ratchet & Clank series, which is just, everybody loves Ratchet & Clank. It's so fantastic. And they showed off Peter Parker swinging through the streets of New York,
right.
And it was so beautiful, and it was all in real time, and you're just shooting webs, and you're like sticking dudes to walls and stopping construction cranes from crashing into like the street, and I mean it really felt like Spider-Man, and it was so cool. And then they also even brought, for comic book fans out there, they even brought in Miles Morales as like a little as a little gimme at the end. It was like a guy taking a picture, and he's like, come on, Miles. And he turns around, and it's Miles Morales. So like, I was like, really exciting for comic fans.
I was wondering about the star power. You know, you mentioned a couple of people that were there. Usually, don't some of the companies bring in a celebrity, a big name, or somebody to kind of call attention to their presentation?
Yeah. We didn't see any Hoop Gods this year, you guys. Hoop God came out. That was like my favorite thing. We still all talk about that. I know. Kevin's like, I don't know who that is. Actually, this year, there was a lot of focus on the developers, which usually is not the case. So even Ubisoft, when they have their press conference, they actually almost always have Aisha Tyler come out and host it. Yeah. And Aisha Tyler was not there this year, and they said, you know, we still love you, Aisha. We're focusing on the developers this year. So developers came out and introduced their own games. That was really cool. And it's always nice to sort of give recognition to those people. So now there's a lot of live sort of stage shows happening. So you've got IGN, you've got GameSpot, which is our sister site for gaming. That's a great place to go if you're looking for full, like, deep, in-depth coverage of E3. If you want to just read like some of the best stuff, you can come over to CNET. And then they also have the E3 Coliseum, where they have people in conversation. Last night, Tim Schafer, who makes games like Psychonauts and Grim Fandango, really popular in the gaming community, interviewed Jack Black. And Jack Black was there, and they had a conversation about games, and then they announced he is now in the new Psychonauts game, and like that was sort of a thing.
I saw him tweeting, what should I ask Jack Black about? I saw that he was asking for questions on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and the thing is like, I think a lot of people like that. Like, they like that interaction with the developers, and so many of them now are kind of, you know, they're like rock stars.
Right.
It's like Hideo Kojima. It's like, oh my God, it's Kojima. He made Metal Gear. Like people go crazy. Like me and Miyamoto. It's like the same thing. They're like rock stars, and it's really cool to sort of see them get their due, because it's a lot of work to make a game. It's not easy. It's years of blood, sweat, and tears of your life, and then this game comes out for everybody, and it's just like putting any other manner of art out there. You're putting it out there for everybody to criticize, for everybody to poop on.
Possibly fail.
Yeah, and possibly
after
fail.
After all that work. Yeah.
After all that work, and it's scary. And so so I think it's really cool. This is a really great way to feel, for those developers to feel validated for all their hard work. And also having the public there is a really great way to sort of get that feedback. Because with industry, it's just like, oh, hello, how are you? Like, it's nice to see you. There's no like, oh my God, you're so amazing. Like, you don't get that kind of like, really high up their energy that you get from the fans.
Listen to how excited Ashley still is after all these years of doing the work.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, man. This is my 15th E3.
Oh, my God.
You're living the dream right now, Ashley.
I snuck in my very first year.
Did you? We hear that so often from bands that are playing like the Weenie Roast, and they talk about how they used to hop the fence, and here they are playing on the stage. It's a big deal. All right, before we go, what's next for CNET coverage? What should people be looking for?
You can definitely look for, I know we have a lot of coverage on, I mean, we're probably still going to update Xbox One X as we get more information, because they're, you know, sometimes they'll like talk to a different outlet or they'll say something and we're like, oh, we got to update that. So if you're interested in Xbox One X, we're constantly updating that page, like with more information. I think now the next 2 days, now that the press conferences are over, we're going to be focusing on actual games coverage, like going and checking out some of the really big titles like Destiny 2 and Spider-Man, Days Gone. I mean, there's so many really good games that are out there. Mario Odyssey, Anthem is another game that's going to be on Xbox. So I definitely think games is going to be the name of the day.
When are most of those games going to be available?
A lot of them.
Is it all this year?
A lot of them this year. A lot of them 2018. So I'd say it's a pretty even split. Next year is going to be an absolutely bonkers year for games. There's a lot of really big name titles that are planning to come out next year. But as we know, these things can be delayed, of course. We waited 7 years for The Last Guardian. So.
CNET.com, AshleySkater.com, on Twitter at AshleySkater. You're part of the family. Ashley, we love you, and it's always great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Same, thanks.
Hey, guys, I'd like to give you something. Have you heard about this place, Box Lunch?
Yes.
Yes.
It's very cool. If you haven't heard about it, it's a novelty store. It's basically any pop culture collectible from movies, music, TV shows, superheroes, comics, and more.
We got a winner!
Not just yet.
Nelly.
Not just yet. Haven't even told you what caller
or
what I'm giving away.
Mm. It's not about winning. It's about the world, brother.
That is true as well. I would like for you to have a $100 Box Lunch gift card.
Yeah.
$100. Not bad. Go in, buy some collectibles.
I like it.
Father's Day is coming up. Maybe he likes
collectibles.
Funkos. Yeah, I don't know. But get him something. Caller 10 at 1-800-520-1067 right now will win that $100 Box Lunch gift card. Excellent stuff. We haven't really heard much from the two people involved with the Bachelor in Paradise shutdown. In case you guys didn't hear about it, it's DeMario Jackson, who I believe was on this season with Rachel on The Bachelorette.
Right.
And he had a girlfriend, so she booted him off. And Corinne, who was on last season's with that, I think, the reigning Ben guy, right? Is that correct?
I mean, it doesn't really matter, but I believe so.
But
when it was raining Ben, I think that
it was raining Ben, and she was there. Well, they were on Bachelor in Paradise, and apparently they got way drunk and were making out. Then they made their way to the pool, and things went. Things were happening, I guess.
Right? I'm sorry. Things went south.
Things
went very south.
Uh-huh. In an aggressive manner.
Not really aggressive. But people were saying, people that have seen the tape of this say the encounter appears completely consensual. But that didn't stop Corinne from lawyering up, and she's saying somebody on the team should have protected her from drinking that much and whatever went down, blah, blah, blah. Well, now DeMario is saying he wants tape of the sexual encounter to be released so he can clear his name. He has lawyered up and contacted Warner Brothers requesting the tape.
See, but she's not suing him or claiming he did anything wrong. She's saying the producers.
Right.
Right?
And he said, according to sources, he was lawyering up. Although Corinne hasn't blamed him yet, he's not taking any chances. So, interesting stuff. But by all accounts that I have read, and according to TMZ, the encounter appears completely consensual, and in no way is DeMario the aggressor. In fact, we're told he and Corinne seemed sweet and considerate to each other.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah, so I don't think we've heard quite the last of this at all. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but there was video released from over the weekend. It was the Summerburst Festival in Stockholm, Sweden. And the crowd was yelling out for Justin Bieber to do his number one song. It is the number one song for, Bean, you were saying weeks, right?
Yeah, 4 or 5 weeks, Despacito has been number one.
So people were yelling out, Despacito, Despacito. And he said, quote, I can't do Despacito. I don't even know it.
I don't even know it.
He has not taken the time to learn the Spanish words, Kevin, of this
song.
That's
funny.
So someone decided to chuck whether it was a shoe or a water bottle at him. It whizzed right by and just missed his head. And he calmly responded with, don't throw things at me, please. Learn your number one song, Justin.
I mean, it does seem like
I think
it.
He looks at it as it's not his song. He's a guest vocalist on somebody else's song. So it's not something that he should be expected to do. And I do remember a couple of weeks ago, he did attempt to do it.
It didn't go well.
Didn't know any of the words, so no. He just kind of went blah, 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 blah.
I have audio of that if you want to hear it.
Yeah. Oh, you do? Great.
Him attempting it, yeah. I mean, a little
yeah,
out of tune.
Maybe they shouldn't ask for
that
it.
That was right? The first time he tried it. But mm-hmm. Then he came back the next night and tried it again, and it went a lot better, I thought. Because he doesn't know Spanish.
Right. Right.
Swinging it.
Him, Kevin Chipper.
We're good. All good.
All right.
All good.
It was wonderful to see. Hey, when we come back, I want to tell you about two things that will interest Kevin. A brand new ice cream flavor.
Yes, please.
That is sweeping this one town.
Okay.
We'll call it Philadelphia.
All right.
It's a pretty big city, but people are losing their minds over it.
Okay.
And Bean, something I think you'll be very interested in.
Okay.
It's a bathing suit that people are just going nuts over.
Go on.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You're going to dig it. That's coming up in a little bit. But right now, some birthdays. Today is singer Boy George's birthday. He is 56. NWA's MC Ren is 48. Actor Kevin McHale is 29. Lucy Hale is 28. And happy birthday to the U.S. Army, 242 years old today.
Yay!
I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Parents with small children listening might want to be aware that this particular talk is intended for a more mature audience.
Okay, I think the one warning is going to be enough.
Yeah, this program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. The word is out there, Kevin.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Let's not beat it into the ground because we do.
I have to warn you, some of this is clearly inappropriate for young viewers.
Okay,
please ask your children to leave the room.
We're going to be talking about an adult subject here, but that doesn't mean you have to overdo it.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
All right, I'm done.
Okay. You sure?
Let's just wait. He's got another one.
I'm done. What do you mean?
There's always another one
I
in the
said
chamber.
I'm done.
You're a comedy assassin.
I'll take it.
Yesterday,
the following hot presentation is for mature audiences only.
Seriously. Yesterday on the program, we were discussing the recent story on Ryanair about the couple that decided to have sex in their seats.
And I believe we were a thumbs up. As long as there's no kids on the flight, thumbs up.
And my argument was, look, some things are not for public. There are lots of things you just, because you can do them in public doesn't mean you should do them in public, and that's one of them. It's not, you don't force other people to be in the room with you when you're having sex. You just don't. It's bad form. And then
Allie, going to Ibiza, though. I mean, really. They're on a flight to a party town. Come on
and
now.
Then, Allie, you saw a story yesterday of some other people who just couldn't be bothered to take it indoors. What happened?
Not just any people. Three people. And they were up on a roof getting a little freaky. And people called the police from another building. They're like, hey, there's three people doing it on the roof next door. And they went and accused them of having sex. And they said, we were getting freaky, but we thought that the position was private and out of sight up here on the roof where other people can see. very odd story, but it's happening everywhere. People just doing it.
And you remember the singles party when we...
Hold on, before you move on. Mm-hmm. Very important detail here. Do we know the sexes of the people involved
in the
threesome?
It was Amanda, Joel, and of course, Kevin.
Oh, there was a Kevin.
Yeah, there was a Kevin. He might have been the lookout. He didn't do a good job.
Come on now. Why can't Kevin be in the middle of it? Why does he have to be the lookout?
And it's the devil's threesome, too, right? It's two dudes and a chick.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, everything about this story is wrong. Okay, so they didn't know people could see them.
They knew.
I think they knew.
You're on a roof.
Yeah.
They're on a roof, but they didn't know the angle at which other buildings around them were able to see them.
If you can see other people can see you.
Right.
I mean, they knew.
Suspects were charged with disorderly conduct for, listen to this, here's how it's written in Pennsylvania where this happened, for the creation of physically offensive conditions.
Wow, that's a...
Wait, is there any way to make sexy time sound worse?
That's awful.
Than just calling it sexy time is the only way.
Sexy times did it.
If you call it sexy time, that's another one.
We're going to be taking your calls, by the way, of the weirdest place you have ever seen people have sex. That's the topic on the table here at 1-800-520-1068. You can call right now to get on the air. You can also text if you're not able to call. But Kevin, you were starting to say there's one you know of.
Well, we had a singles party where we took buses to Las Vegas. And those buses, man, it was all on.
Yeah, things happen.
People were full-on drunk by the time the bus driver closed the door to leave.
Oof.
There was some pre-partying going on.
Yeah.
So we stopped halfway to Vegas, and one of the couples, I don't know why, went up on top of a McDonald's.
On the roof of the McDonald's?
Yes, and they were having sex on top on the roof of the McDonald's.
That is
a choice.
Because, choice?
Yeah, and the same thing with the people that are having sex on the roof in the other story is why go up on the roof? First of all, not comfortable.
No.
Second of all, I guess if you're into showing off, maybe, but... Yeah.
No, I don't...
You don't think that's part of it?
I think you go up on the roof because you don't think people can see you. Look, if you're...
What?
Yes.
Everyone could see them.
As opposed to being 30 feet lower where they would be in a McDonald's or in a car in a parking lot of a McDonald's where you're far more likely to be seen. That's way more private being up on the roof.
You don't remember this one.
Way more private.
They were way exposed.
You could see
and them. I think they were totally into it. I also was at a resort in Mexico one time, and we were at the pool, and a woman just started screaming. Orgasmic screams.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And they were on the balcony.
Oh, I've seen that. Saw that in the Bahamas.
Third, fourth floor.
Yeah.
Where everybody at the pool could see them. And it was sort of an adults-only pool. So it was sort of... But they wanted everyone to know. They were very excited that everyone see. And that guy was really, really doing a job. I mean, he was...
putting in work.
I feel like he started in the room and took a running start. And then he would run back. I mean, it was really aggressive.
But that couple, yes, absolutely, they're facing an open pool area with hundreds of other customers.
Hold on, honey, I got to get a running start. That's what was happening there.
They definitely wanted to be
seen.
Yes,
agreed.
I don't know about the roof people, but all right.
The roof people are definitely, first of all, that's a great group. And second of all, I think they knew they were
taking your calls and your texts at 1-800-520-1067. The weirdest place you saw people having sex. Why don't we go to West Covina, please, up first. Mario's on line two. He'll get us started here on K-Rock.
Hey, Mario.
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Good. Strangest place you saw people having sex.
Strangest place.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Right. Viewer discretion is advised.
All right, the warnings have been given. All right, let Mario tell a story, please.
Okay, all right. So, at my job, there's a room called the wellness room where we go get crickets for people. So, it's a Petco. That's where I was. I go into the wellness room. There's only two keys, actually. The one that goes into it and the manager key.
Right.
I had the manager key at the time because I couldn't find the regular key.
Right.
So, I go inside there. Open the door, and of course, there's something kind of blocking it. So I'm like, whatever. That happens often. So,
you forced your way in, sure.
Forced our way in. Look forward, and I just see shoes on their knees, and I figure there's stuff on the floor. But as I continue to walk in, I just the guy gets up and shuffles around. So I knew something's up. And sure as you know, I see one girl on the floor, and then the guy pulling up his pants and just.
I mean, honestly, they had locked the door.
Yeah, and it is the wellness room, right?
Yes, that is. But
I don't know.
Mario, I think this one's on you, bud.
I do too. I feel like you're an unwanted intruder.
this is on Mario.
Give their colleagues some privacy, man. What's your name?
Oh, my God.
They just want to get well. Leave them alone.
Hey, fix your goddamn life, Mario.
Thank you for calling. All right, we have a bunch more calls. We'll take a break. 1-800-520-1067 for phone calls and text. Barbie in Garden Grove. Hi, Barbie.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
We're talking about the weirdest places you've ever seen people having sex. Taking calls and texts at 1-800-520-1067. Where were you?
So my best friend and I went to the movie theaters to see a movie, and the couple in front of us, all of a sudden, she started to give him oral in the movie theater.
Oh.
And you were cool with it?
Wait, what? My best friend and I were just like, okay, there you go.
All right, that's happening.
What movie was it? Do you remember?
It was Sully.
Oh, Sully.
I mean, how do you not get turned on at Sully?
I am hot thinking about it.
Great call, Barbie. Thanks. We'll take your text after reading the NK-Rock.
This looks like it's going to be one of those fun topics we could go all day if we needed to. Hearing from so many people. You saw people having sex where? From the 714, I drove by a graveyard near where my kid's babysitter is and saw a couple making sex in the graveyard.
That
doesn't come to mind ordinarily, right?
Right, but don't say making sex.
I'm quoting the texter.
I know, I'm talking to the texter.
From the 949, when I was 16, I went to a Cure concert. Right next to me, people started shoving other people, and I'm like, what's going on, a mosh pit at a Cure concert? But no, it was just a couple banging while standing up. People kept pushing at them, but they didn't fall, nor did they stop. That's from John.
Hmm.
That's pretty impressive. All right, let's take some more calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Andrew in El Monte. And Orly, you hang on. We'll get to you right after Andrew. Andrew, you talk about the least likely place to ever have sex. What'd you see?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Ali.
Hi there.
My sister had just purchased a vehicle, and we were going to get insurance. So the insurance place is in El Monte. We walk into the complex where they lease businesses to them, and we knock on the door. And beforehand, when I'm walking up, I kind of hear something odd, and I didn't really think anything of it until after the fact.
Right.
We knock on the door, and to my left is like a somewhat transparent window. I hear running, and all of a sudden, I see a woman fully nude running into a room right next to it.
What?
And I don't know what I'm really looking at, but my sister didn't see anything. Then all of a sudden, you hear the gentleman, which is the guy who was selling insurance, saying, "Hey, did they see you? Did they see you?" And then I kind of put, you know, two and two together.
Did you knock on the window and go ahead and finish? I'll wait.
No, but I should have, and I also should have threatened to call on them for cheaper insurance because our insurance is
right?
really expensive.
Knock a couple hundred bucks off it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So much for people working in the insurance business being boring, though. That's a great story. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Santa Monica as advertised. This is going to be Orly, line six, please.
All right. Hey, Orly.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you so much. So you guys were actually there.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. We were there.
You were there. It was breakfast with K-Rock at Sagebrush Cantina. I was in high school, and I worked at Sagebrush Cantina, and I cut school that day because I've listened to you guys since I was in high school, and I cut school that day so I could cocktail waitress this event. And it was with Jack Johnson.
I was going to ask which one it was.
You remember this? So there were buckets of tiny little mini Coronas.
Sure.
Jack Johnson and you guys at Sagebrush on that side patio.
Sure.
And two people, a girl just sat on top of her lover, and it was like the funniest, like slow Jack Johnson inspired sexual encounter at
I don't know how you get it on with bubbly toes in the background. that doesn't scream sex to me. All right, thank you, Orly, for the call. We appreciate that.
That's fantastic,
wow.
By the way. All right, geez, where do you want to go next? We got a bunch of good ones.
Let's go Josh in Roland Heights. Hi, Josh. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, K&B, what's happening? And Allie.
Hey.
So I was in the airport parking lot of LAX, specifically the one across from Tom Bradley. We've all been there.
Sure.
So walking through there, I look inside, you know, you can't help but look around, you know, because you're bored and waiting for your flight. I look over to this black Audi and some guy is, you know, just sitting there. Okay, yeah, that's fine. I guess he's just waiting for his flight. But then I see the unmistakable head of a blonde woman coming up and down in the near the steering wheel column.
Right.
She was making sex with her mouth.
Yeah, Josh. Yeah. Here's the thing. I get that in an airport parking lot. Completely get it. You're either leaving or you're coming back. You haven't seen someone in a long time. Maybe you're in a long-distance relationship. You can't wait to get home. Right.
Also, I feel like there's so many cars that you wouldn't get noticed.
Yeah.
Unless Josh is creeping around looking in windows, you know?
I miss that Audi.
That's true, too, okay?
See, feel like it's on Josh. I'm sorry, you what?
I said I miss that Audi.
Yeah. All right.
Nice car.
Speaking of cars, by the way, and I'm sure cars are one of the most common places outside the home that anybody ever has sex, but from the 818, I saw people doing the deed in a drive-through car wash. They did not have tinted windows, but they were keeping it clean. You know.
But again, you're inside a car wash.
Yeah,
I don't know
it's
how people
sudsy.
See
Who's
that.
Who's seeing that?
You're inside a car, but you don't have to steer. You know, you've got that, like, 4 minutes or whatever it is while you're in the car wash, that I guess you got time to kill.
4 minutes.
Right?
You can do it twice.
Oh, condolences.
Hey, wait a minute.
Let's go to Rob in Los Angeles. Hi, Rob.
Hello. I used to work at a movie theater as a manager, and one night I was walking shows to keep an eye, make sure everything was going on, and I hear this noise coming from the trash area where those doors where you drop your trash into the bottom, and I open the doors, and there's two teenagers going at it in that trash area.
Oh, nothing sexier than sex in a trash area.
So what do you do in a situation like that, by the way?
Well, they got dressed really quick and went running out the door. Mm-hmm. But normally you call security and have them call the parents.
But I mean, come on, Rob. Right?
I even had one parent. One time we caught some teenagers doing it. The mom came in and was all upset because we called the parents and all upset at her daughter. And then the father came in, looked at the girl, and high-fived the son.
Oh, man. Yeah, of course.
All right. Thank you for the call, Rob. We're going to have to end it there. That's great. All right, we got to clear these lines. What's up next, Kevin? We've been advertising all day. We're giving away Galaxy tickets, right?
Yes, this Saturday night is the Galaxy playing the Houston Dynamo at StubHub Center, and we have a K-Rock section. And you can win tickets to get into that K-Rock section right now if you call. The game will include knowing team names. Is that giving away too much?
Okay.
No,
probably.
So you follow the MLS, basically.
Right, you follow the MLS.
I mean, that's a pretty big tell.
I mean, I really did kind of give it all away right there. But 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to win tickets in the K-Rock section at StubHub Center for the Galaxy game this Saturday night.
You can go to lagalaxy.com/K-Rock and buy tickets in the K-Rock section for this weekend's game Saturday night, Galaxy versus the Houston Dynamo at StubHub Center. Or you can win them right now if you're an MLS fan at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to sit with Kevin at the game, call right now to get on the K-Train.
So come on down and we can play this game. Galaxy tickets for you. Come on and get on the K-Train.
Choo-choo.
So if you want to ride, come on and call us now. And you will be so down. You win, you'll jump around. Get on the K-Train. Get on it. Get on the K-Train. Get on it. Get on the K-Train.
Come on now.
Get on it.
After the phone topic we did just now, I'm a little uncomfortable with getting on the K-Train.
Yeah.
But callers are lined up. Kevin, what are we doing?
All right, I'm going to give you clues, and you have to give me the city and the team name in the MLS.
The city and the team name.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you clues, and I can't use the words that are in the city or the team name. So I'm going to say other words to get you to say the city and the team name.
Okay. And of course, it's narrowed down somewhat by if you're a soccer fan, you know what teams, you know, come through.
Right.
You know who the other players are in the league, the other teams that play in the league. So, all right, let's meet our first contestant.
We do have a 15-second timer, so you do have to get it within 15 seconds.
All right. And we're counting on you to give those clues.
I'm giving the clues.
Uh-oh.
But I think I've got some really good ones.
Okay.
So this is a given. It's a slam dunk. No problem.
Oh, dear.
We're going to start with Henry V. in Sherman Oaks. Hi there.
Hey.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
Yep, ready.
All right. Your team, this gives you wings.
Red Bull, New York Red Bull.
Yes. Nicely done.
Look at that.
Okay. People know their stuff.
Well done.
You're in the K-Rock section. Congratulations.
Yeah, you won your tickets. No no drawing or anything. You you get it, you're in.
All right, let's go to Jody in Huntington Beach. Hi, Jody.
Hey, what's up?
I'm going to give you some clues, and you need to give me the city and the team name, all right?
Sounds good.
Okay. This is the stupidest tradition of celebrating a goal with a chainsaw where they're cutting through a tree.
Portland Timbers.
Thank you. Look at that. Come on, people.
That is pretty dumb, by
Come
the way.
Come on, it's stupid.
They literally bring out a chainsaw.
They bring out a chainsaw and they cut through a section of a tree.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's how they do it.
That's
pretty involved.
Great.
We're doing Get on the K-Train. Get on the K-Train. Get on it. Okay. All right, Bill in Lakewood, hi.
How you doing, Kevin?
Very good. Are you ready?
I am.
When Steph Curry makes 30 shots in a row, they say he is on...
He's on fire.
Yes. And the city name?
Chicago.
Yes. Chicago Fire. Nicely done. Don't even need the 15 seconds.
Really?
That's
don't.
It.
Look at Kevin. Go, Kevin, go.
Right? Get on the hate train.
Get on it. Bill's impressed that you're able to read questions you wrote.
I don't. I felt like that was a little demeaning.
I'm with Bill, by the way. I'm very impressed.
All right. Let's go with Matt in Los Angeles. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's going on?
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'll do this.
All right. If you go white water rafting, you're doing this through what?
Vancouver Whitecap.
In a river. It's moving very fast.
Oh, Colorado Rapids.
Yes.
There you go.
Nicely done.
Look at that. He even had an alternate answer.
Four out of five.
Made a lot of sense. That's well done, you guys.
Right?
All right. We got one more pair of tickets to sit in Kevin's section at the Galaxy game. Don't forget, you can buy them at lagalaxy.com/KRock if you don't win. Get on that K-Train. Someone else on the K-Train here.
All right, let's go to Isaac in Encino. Hi, Isaac.
Yo, 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 what's up?
This is the only club to win five championships in the MLS.
Los Angeles Galaxy.
There
baby.
You go, nicely yeah! done.
Wow.
Five championships. Congratulations, you're sitting in the K-Rock section.
Thank you.
Nicely done. People, come on, 5 out of 5.
Yeah, that was great.
5 out of 5.
Yep.
100%.
Uh-huh.
I've never done anything 100% before. It's kind of fun. Get on that K-Train.
Get on it. Woo! Choo-choo.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, LA and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
I'm going to say Mandy Moore, thanks to This Is Us, is maybe America's favorite mom right now. Wouldn't you think?
Oh, and America's
love Rebecca?
Sweetheart.
Sure.
She is just lovely.
Not happy with what the Sharks are doing to her, though. I'll tell you that right now.
I am very much against it as well. 47 Meters Down is the name of the film. We'll be talking to the star, Mandy Moore, coming up right after the top of the hour. And, of course, because it's almost 9 a.m., that means your chance to win those tickets for Incubus and Jimmy Eat World at the Hollywood Bowl are straight ahead, too. First, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's out.
Well, this is a lovely story out of Manchester, England. U.S. singer Ariana Grande is in line to be the first recipient for organizing the One Love Manchester concert in aid of the victims of the bombing attack at her gig to be awarded honorary citizenship.
Oh.
Which is just a lovely thing for the city to do.
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Council leader Sir Richard Leese said this about her. We've all had cause to be incredibly proud of Manchester and the resilient and compassionate way in which the city and all those associated with it have responded to the terrible events of the 22nd of May with love and courage rather than hatred and fear. And Aria Grande exemplified.
Does Aria exemplify that?
Ariana.
Okay.
Grandy. exemplified this response, which is lovely that they would do that for her. I think a lot of people gain so much respect for, I mean, what is she, 22, 23?
Yeah, 23, right.
The way she handled herself after that horrible attack.
Yeah.
Her and her people came together, put that show on, and she was amazing.
And raised millions and millions of dollars for the victims and their families.
Unbelievable. The plans will go before the council on the 12th of July. Can you imagine city council's like, nope.
You know what?
Denied.
No. Sorry. She's not British.
Can't do it. Hey, Kevin, this is a story for you.
All right.
A Philadelphia dessert shop has unveiled pizza flavored ice cream.
They've created the treat as a tribute to their neighbor, who's a pizza-themed museum called Pizza Brain, which sounds like something you should go to.
Wow.
Anyway, museum called Pizza Brain. The new pizza ice cream is crafted from crushed tomatoes, oregano, red pepper, raw garlic, and basil. What do you think?
Nasty.
You'd think, right?
That sounds nasty.
Sounds disgusting.
I'd eat pizza all day and ice cream all day. I don't need them to mix.
Well, it's been a hit with customers.
Has it?
And some have even been asking for ice cream scoops atop an actual pizza.
Nope.
I think Philly, right?
Philly.
What's happening?
Right? What's happening with
That's
Philly?
That's disgusting.
Stop it, Philly.
Stop it. And here's a story for Bean. I'm sure you saw this yesterday, Bean. It was, as well, trending on Twitter. There's a brand called Beloved Shirts, and they make, you know, silly memes, and they put them on T-shirts and whatnot, just to make people laugh. Well, their latest launch is a one-piece swimsuit called the Sexy Chest One Piece. And it is basically a dude's hairy chest on a one-piece
oh,
swimsuit.
No.
Offered in three different shades so you can match your skin tone, just so it looks, you know.
Natural.
Natural.
Sure.
When you're wearing it. But people were losing their minds at this. Like, this hot chick with this hairy Ooh. Chest dad bod one-piece on. It's fantastic.
I think
now,
I love it.
Why did you think of me?
Because it's just funny. Like, you'd be at the beach like, ooh, look at her. And then she turns around, hairy one piece.
Is this a reflection on my hairless nipples? You feel like
bit.
I have some hair
bit.
Jealousy maybe? And
maybe.
I would
yeah,
wear this.
Was, I mean, you yeah. didn't even have one hair.
No.
That was insane.
It really was.
One stray.
Yeah.
Didn't get the memo. Because
I zoomed in.
Right?
Nothing.
Zero.
Nothing.
Keep it smooth, you guys.
It was great.
Do you keep it smooth or are you unable to grow nipple hair?
I don't know if I'm unable to. I just haven't yet.
I would suggest...
I could be a slow starter.
I would suggest unable to at this point.
Look, puberty doesn't hit everybody at the same time. Sometimes you're 13 and sometimes you're 70.
Right.
I did not see that coming.
Nope. I mean, it's not even one, though. We should maybe we should repost the picture so people can enjoy.
Sure.
I'm just saying because now yeah. new people may be hearing
the
about
sexy
that.
Sexy chest swimsuit. We can post that. I think that's really what people would be more interested in.
Oh, okay. Good Lord. Well, the Beloved shirt, sexy chest, one-piece swimsuit... $44.95. That's a very good price for a swimsuit, by the way. I want to see these all over the beaches.
Agreed.
It is so funny to me.
They are very funny. They do look like something that Jack Black would wear. Oh, wait, he doesn't need to.
Looks like something Bean would wear to look normal.
What just happened?
I'm not sure.
I'm just saying, Jack Black's a very hairy guy. I'm just saying, he would need something.
Okay. But this is okay.
All right. Hey, you guys, some birthdays today. Singer Boy George is 56, actor Kevin McHale, 29, NWA's MC Ren is 48, actress Lucy Hale is 28, and happy birthday to the U.S. Army, 242 years old today. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Mandy Moore coming up next.
All week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 a.m. We're hooking you up with tickets for Incubus and Jimmy Eat World. They're playing the Hollywood Bowl August 14th, and everyone who wins also qualifies to see the band again in Seattle. That includes round-trip airfare and hotel and spending cash and the whole deal. It is destination number two of the K-Rock Road Trip 2017, so we just gave away a pair of tickets to Marvin Malzahn from Mission Viejo. Your chance to win coming up at noon and 3 and 6 p.m. as well. Details at K-Rock.com.
Going to talk to Mandy Moore in a second. This is the trailer for her movie 47 Meters Down, and a lot of times you can't really tell what's going on the radio when you play a trailer, but I think this pretty much tells you what you need to know.
The faster you breathe, the faster you use up your air. Trust me, once you're down there, you're not going to want to come back up.
This is amazing.
It kind of takes your breath away. We would like to come back up now.
I'm bringing you back up.
How deep are we?
47 meters.
Stay in the cage.
We have no air. It has to go now.
There are sharks everywhere.
Pretty much is what happens in this movie.
We're all going to die tonight.
Look, I don't ever want to be in a situation where the words "stay in the cage" are being said to
oh,
me.
Oh, I'm that's dying how I know, to see sharks.
That's how I know I have made bad decisions.
No, though. I'm no. dying to do this.
No,
I mean I don't want to get stuck 47 meters down.
That
thing
when it
in a
clips
cage?
Off and they'd sink. Oh,
well,
good
I'm saying
Lord.
That's not ideal.
No,
but I would love to see
this
sharks.
This movie is a butthole pucker.
All right.
That is what it is.
Do we have Miss Moore? Is she on the phone?
We do.
Oh,
it has been way too long since Mandy Moore has been a guest of the Kevin Beach Show. Welcome back.
Thanks, guys.
I got to tell you, this is everyone's worst nightmare. Like, people aren't already on edge enough with all the shark attacks in the news, which, by the way, congratulations on the marketing department for the movie to engineer that.
But
people are already terrified. Where were you at in terms of your fear of sharks, if any at all, going into even making this movie, Mandy?
I mean, we're not looking to demonize the poor sharks, obviously. I think that it's a deep-seated fear for a reason. They're just, they're these mysterious, dangerous, seeming predators, and the sharks weren't scary enough, or the premise of this film was scary enough just with the sharks involved, but to me what's far scarier is drowning, is running out of air at the bottom of the ocean with no way out of, like, a cage, not knowing if the boat is still waiting for you on the surface, the dark, murky water, not having any diving experience. Like, all of that is far more terrifying to me than just swimming in open water with
them. I'd say it's a pretty good decision when you say, hey, has everybody scuba dived? To go ahead and be honest when that happens.
Do not lie and say,
of course I know how to do it. That's sort of important.
I know.
Had you scuba dived before this?
I had not.
You hadn't.
My co-star, Claire Holt, and I, when we signed up for this film, part of our quote-unquote, like, I call it Hollywood training, like, certification.
Right.
Was we spent a couple hours in a pool, and then the next day we went on two open ocean dives, which would be part of our certification process. But then that was it. They're like, cool, you're ready to spend 8 weeks for about 8 hours a day underwater. So
it was that long.
Yeah.
Mandy, what does that do to your body to be underwater all day, every day? Are you just exhausted at the end of it just from the pressure?
Yeah, just bone tired. The amount of energy it takes, you exert yourself so much more than you realize. And we would go through like 5 or 6 tanks of air each day. And we'd go down with one tank of air, and we would, you know, do a bunch of, like, whatever we had to do, like, during the scene. And then we would only come back up when our air got low. So we would, like, surface after, you know, an hour and 15 minutes and just be dog tired. And I'm not a napper, and I would find myself, like, napping at lunchtime because I couldn't eat enough. I couldn't sleep enough. We were exhausted.
It's, you know, you're a big star, Mandy. You know you don't have to suffer this abuse, right? You can say no.
I was so excited about this challenge. I mean, I've never done anything like this before. I've never been thought of for sort of a thriller. And when I read the script, I was super compelled by the concept. And, yeah, the simple fact that, like, wow, a movie's never really taken place, like, primarily underwater. I mean, 95% of this movie takes place underwater. So I thought, why not? Why not just see if I could get through it, I guess.
Were you lucky enough to ever be around sharks, or was that all special effects? Because I'm dying to see sharks.
I am too. No, that was all effects. Mm. But I'm with you. Like, I haven't been sort of scared off at the idea of going cage diving. And as long as I can be guaranteed that the cage will not break off from the bottom of the boat, or I have plenty of air.
As long as Matthew Modine is not the captain of the boat, you'll be fine.
Exactly.
But you know what's so funny about this, and if you're just joining us, we're talking to Mandy Moore. The new film opens everywhere Friday called 47 Meters Down. It's a perfect movie to take you, you know, go in there for the summertime. What's great about it is it's so unbelievably likely that something like this could happen. It was so easy for a mistake like this to happen. I mean, there's got to be hundreds of crews around the world who are operating these shark, you know, these shark tourism boats, and it's something can go wrong. Ooh, what's going wrong with you, Mandy? You all right?
I'm good. I have very protective dogs.
Sorry. Oh, okay. All right.
So it's incredibly, you know, so many summertime movies are just so fantastic and so far out. This is something that's so believable. You could easily have been you and your sister just on vacation looking to have a good afternoon. You never know something like this is around the corner.
I know. And that was what was so scary about the premise of this film as well, is it was so believable. And, you know, ultimately, it's like everybody's worst fears all realized.
You know what I loved about it, too, is that it was basically an Instagram moment. Like, you did it for the picture. You say you say in the movie you did it for a picture. You got to wonder how many people do ridiculously stupid things for the Instagram.
Sure.
It's not worth it, guys. It's
not worth it. All right. Well, listen, the film again is called 47 Meters Down, opened up everywhere on Friday. And please tell us before you go. You guys are already filming on season 2 for This Is Us? We're getting ramped up, right?
We start in about 3 weeks.
And fantastic.
It'll be out in September. Yeah.
All right. Well, keep Jack alive as long as you can, Mandy. If you have anything to do with that, don't make us face that fear, all right?
I promise. I'll do my best.
All right. It's been way too long since you've been on the show. Thanks so much for coming back. Great to talk to you.
You too, guys. Have a good...
Thank you, Mandy. I didn't do that.
Bye.
That wasn't you.
There she is.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye. I didn't do that.
You didn't hang up on Mandy Moore.
All good.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
In for Ralph Garman. Here's Allie with one more look at the showbiz beat. What's new? What's going on?
Well, if you watched Jimmy Fallon last night, and I know neither of you did, but you would have seen a toothless Demi Moore.
All right.
And by
Go
toothless,
on.
Her two front
Kevin's
teeth.
Interested.
Not like that, Kevin.
Maybe.
She has false teeth. Her two front teeth are gone. And she shared a picture of it. And she said that she'd love to say it was from skateboarding or something really cool like that. But it was stress. She says, quote, stress sheared off my front tooth.
I don't understand that.
I don't either. I don't either.
Because we were talking about grinding your teeth. Maybe that would cause it, but your front teeth, your front two teeth?
Or unless you're just so stressed that you're not eating right, you're not taking care of yourself, a tooth rots.
And your teeth just go, F you, I'm out.
Well, teeth do that. They need to be...
They say F you,
they need
out?
To be babied a little bit. Their teeth, yeah. I don't know. Crazy,
that's
though.
Weird.
Yeah, she showed a picture and everybody was a little shocked by it. But this is the thing that I found odd. This is her quote about her kids. Her daughters love that she's missing teeth. They love seeing me without my teeth because they think it makes me look more vulnerable and more human.
More vulnerable and more human.
Like, I guess not perfect. Because Demi Moore, let's be honest, she's kind of a goddess.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Allie, I was very confused earlier when you did this story because I couldn't figure out what Demi Moore would be promoting. Like, why would she be on Tonight Show? We haven't heard from her in a billion years. Apparently, she is in this new Rough Night film.
Oh.
And right. Jillian Bell's coming in tomorrow to talk about, which has got a phenomenal cast, but I had no idea that she was even in it.
I didn't either.
Scarlett Johansson and Zoe Kravitz, Kate McKinnon, a bunch of great people. So Demi Moore's in that, too. Hopefully with her teeth in.
Agreed.
I hope so, yeah. All right, good stuff. Those self-lacing sneakers inspired by Back to the Future just sold at auction for a whopping $52,500. And the Nike Air Mags are near exact replicas of the ones worn by Michael J. Fox. And they fetched a world record for a collectible sneaker sold at public auction. And all of the proceeds went to the Michael J. Fox Foundation, which is supporting research for Parkinson's disease. It's a pretty good price for a pair of sneakers.
Yeah.
Good stuff right there. This happened during an interview, a little slip up. If you're not careful when you're in an interview on TV or even for a magazine, radio, whatever, and you give out some information that maybe you shouldn't, it happens, and it happened to Tom Holland. He was promoting Spider-Man Homecoming with a French website, and he said, there's still a lot of room for Peter Parker and Spider-Man, especially to grow into the next two movies. And the reporter said, is that breaking news? And he said, whoops, sorry, Marvel.
Maybe so.
So apparently he wasn't supposed to say that, but he says he's really looking forward to exploring different ways he can grow up and go through puberty, I guess.
I mean, let's be honest. We all expected 2 and 3.
Yeah. We did.
Any superhero franchise that launches, you expect at least a trilogy.
Right. You do. You do. But we talked earlier about pimply Spider-Man.
I don't know that that's
voice changing Spider-Man.
That would be funny.
Going to a dance for the first time, Spider-Man. Aw, that is darling.
Prom Spider-Man.
What is it?
Prom.
Prom Spider-Man.
Sure.
Oh, so much goodness.
Right?
See, he took your going to a dance Spider-Man.
He did, and made
it
to a prom.
Thank you, Bean.
Because my dance was just, you know, a hootenanny.
Right?
It was just a hootenanny.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe a Sadie Hawkins.
So I made it better.
You did.
Okay, good. I'm just checking.
Corsage Spider-Man. What kind of limo are we renting, Spider-Man?
Right?
Yeah, I get it.
All of it. Right.
I see what you're saying.
Right.
This is pretty interesting. You guys know the show Broad City.
Sure.
Yes, love it.
Well, the season 4 trailer came out, and it not a lot of love for President Trump in it. But here's an interesting thing about the show. Abby Jacobson and Alana Glazer have decided that they are going to bleep out his name, just like any other swear word would be bleeped out on a basic cable channel.
Fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen.
They will never mention his name. It will be bleeped. Quote from Glazer, there's no airtime for this orange person. We bleep his name the whole season.
That's a terrible story to do on the man's birthday. Come on, Allie.
Oh, is it his birthday?
Oh.
Oh.
Because you've been doing birthdays all day and I didn't
notice.
Huh.
But the Trump bleeping comes after Jacobson and Glazer had to rewrite a ton of the show. They went into the season thinking Hillary would be president. So they're probably a little bitter about some extra work.
Sure, a lot of extra work, most likely.
Maybe a ton of extra work. So that's a pretty interesting story.
No politician in history has been treated worse or more unfairly
than...
I think he means than him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of treated unfairly, poor Kendall Jenner cannot catch a break. So, you know, she was robbed by someone, got into her bedroom. They took about $200,000 in jewelry. But now she definitely wants out of the neighborhood she's living in after an alleged stalker followed her right up her driveway.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
This is terrifying. And apparently she should have listened to her mom because Kris Jenner said she never wanted Kendall to buy the home she's in. Apparently it's right above the Sunset Strip. She said it's not gated. It's located in an area
Jenner
where...
Kris Jenner knows everything, blah, blah,
she
blah.
Knows everything. People show up late after partying on the strip, but here's where I feel terrible for her. She paid $6.5 million for that home.
Okay.
But she's now looking for homes west side of L.A., Bel Air, Beverly Hills, and she wants to spend about $15 million.
Okay.
And she's, how old is she now?
Eight.
I don't think she's eight.
No?
No.
No, I think she's probably 20.
20, 21?
Maybe.
Good for her.
$15 million for a house, 21.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
I'd be dead
good
if
for
I
her,
had...
Kevin, because she earned it?
Yeah.
She did, she though. Did. She's modeling. She's doing all that.
She actually has jobs and
stuff. Yeah. Remember she handed that Pepsi to the officer?
Right.
That was a great ad.
Right.
Good stuff. This is a very sad story. There's an aspiring singer, Brandon Rogers, who has passed away now at the age of 29. He was in a car accident, but he also a doctor, just finished med school. And just last year, he auditioned for America's Got Talent. And he apparently catapulted into the public eye because he posted a video singing on Bended Knee. And Boys to Men saw it, so impressed with them, they invited him to perform with them in Vegas.
Cool.
Like, the guy just had everything going for him. He's now passed away, and producers from America's Got Talent haven't decided yet on whether or not to air his audition. But I think they should, just in remembrance of him, and say, this guy tried out, do something nice.
Sure, that
was a car accident, right?
Yeah. Really, really sad story.
Thanks, Allie.
You're welcome. Hey.
She didn't cause it.
I mean, I did end on that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the perfect one to end on. You have another one that you could end on?
No, I threw them all out.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, all of these stars born today, June 14th. Boy George is 56. MC Ren is 48. Actor Kevin McHale is 29. Actress Lucy Hale is 28. And happy 242nd birthday to the U.S. Army. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of help with us. We all win with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Dr. Drew because it's Thursday. We also talk sports with Jim Rome. We have Jillian Bell in studio. Very excited about that, talking about Rough Night and something special for you at 8:15 tomorrow morning on an all-new show.